scriptures from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit.
じゃあ、エペソ人への手紙2章19節から22節、日本語で読みます。こういうわけで、あなた方はもはや他国人でも帰留者でもなく、今は聖徒たちと同じ国民であり、神の家族なのです。あなた方は使徒と預言者という土台の上に建てられており、キリストイエスご自身がその礎石です。この方にあって組み合わされた建物の全体が成長し、主にある聖なる宮となるのであり、このキリストにあってあなた方も共に建てられ、御霊によって神の御住まいとなるのです。
Good morning. How's everyone doing? Getting ready for summer? Any summer vacations coming up? Yeah, I was telling Josh and Greg, because Josh is actually moving to Hawaii, that this morning I had a dream about being in Hawaii, and I ordered a loco moco. I hope that's a prophetic dream. No, just kidding. But yeah, it's getting hot, and vacations. She is working during the summer, but I hope you guys have enjoy your summer. You know, there's different seasons in life, and I think God did that for a reason. And one of the things about summer is vacation, you know, resting. And so during summer, I hope you do find a way, even if you can't go to Hawaii or anything like that, find a way to rest in the Lord. Enjoy His heat. Anyways, let me pray for our message. Dear Heavenly Father, you who created the heavens and the earth, you who are mighty, strong, amazing, wonderful, you who bless us, Lord, and provide for us. We thank you, Lord, this Sunday that we could come together to worship your name, to bless you, Lord, to hear from your word, to be a blessing to our neighbors, and to learn to grow in your ways, Lord. Teach us your ways, Father, that we would walk in your truth. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week I talked about vision, and this week I want to continue on that theme of vision, the big picture. In Ephesians, the scripture we just heard, it says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizen with the saints and also member of the household of God." Now, big picture, when it comes to vision and when it comes to personal vision, it first starts, and if you were here last week, I hope you remember, but it first starts with the revelation of Jesus. And you see that throughout Scripture, even in the book of Revelation, when he talks to the seven churches, he gives a revelation of himself before he talks about the churches. And so even in our own lives, it's important that we have a greater revelation of Jesus. And I talked about the dangers of knowing Jesus too well, or thinking you know him too well. And if you want to hear more about that, it's online, I believe. But we need to continue to be hungry and humble when it comes to knowing Jesus, to having a revelation of Jesus. But as we behold the Lord, as we have a greater revelation of Jesus, it always leads to a greater revelation of self, of identity, because He is our Master and we are His disciple. And as we behold our Master, as we see Jesus, and as we understand Him, or have a better relationship with them, we become to know ourselves even better. How well are you at knowing yourself? Man, I got to tell you, I'm going to share you insecurity about myself. So I hate listening to myself online. I don't like the sound of my voice. It sounds okay now, but for some reason, when I listen to it, when it's recorded, I can't stand it. I'm like, oh, I sound like that? I thought I sound like this. But I don't know. I feel like I don't know myself sometimes. I don't even know my own voice. But having a greater revelation of Jesus, you get to know yourself better. And guess what? The more you know yourself and in the light of Jesus, the more you begin to love yourself. Because God loves you. And He wants you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I'm not talking about a selfish self love, but a love that is from heaven. God created you, and He loves you. But one thing we have to learn as we have a greater revelation of ourselves and have a greater revelation of Jesus, it says in Ephesians 2:19 that we are no longer strangers and aliens, but we are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. Do you see that about yourself? Citizens of the kingdom of heaven. In your identity. When somebody asks you where are you from, the normal response is probably like Japan, or I'm Okinawan, or I'm from America, or you know. But do you actually see yourself as a citizen of heaven? Because that's actually what you are when you become Christian. When you ask Jesus in your life, He said, Scripture says you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens and also members of the same household of God. Isn't that interesting? That you are a citizen of heaven. What does that mean? Now we know that in every culture and every household, there are expectations, rules, laws that are different from ones in America, right? You guys know that? You guys are aware of that? So for example, if you're from Argentina, I just pulled this up from the just online. It says Argentinians have a different sense of personal space and are known to be close talkers. You guys ever encounter somebody from a different culture, and when they talk to you, they get real close to you? Sometimes they may even touch your clothes or arms while talking. Stepping back will look like an insult, so they step to the side to give you more space. Now, Japanese people, we love our space. If a Japanese person and an Argentinian got together, it'd be a little bit awkward for the Japanese person, and the Argentinian would think, man, that Japanese person is cold and he doesn't like me. There'd be miscommunication there, just because being a citizen of Argentina and being a citizen of Japan, there's different cultural norms. I don't know, you guys want to hear more? So apparently, if you're from the Middle East or Latin America, their sense of time is a little different than Americans or Japanese, right? You know, I used to be punctual. I used to be on time and like to be on time. My first encounter of church was at a Korean church, though. And they have something called Korean time, and maybe it's like Filipino time or Okinawan time, or in their culture, when they say we start at 12, they mean like 12:15, 12:30, around 12, but not ever before 12. So back when I first started going to church, I went to a Korean church. I used to show up at like 11:45 and no one would be there. And I'd be like, oh man, no one's here. And so I began to hate being on time because I feel awkward and it's like no one's there. I come to this church and everyone's here before me and I feel really bad. I'm sorry. I apologize. Let me just tell you, it's because it's hard for me to break old habits. But the sense of time, Middle East, the Middle East, Latin America, they have a different sense of time than we do, don't they? Or we as an American or Japanese American. Different cultural norms, different laws, different expectation. I heard that in Sedona, Arizona, it's illegal to lie about your astrological sign. I pulled that up on the internet, but so I don't know how legit that is. So don't go lying about being a, is it Leo? Don't go lying about being a Leo. Not everyone's cool and can be a Leo. No, just kidding. I guess in New York City it's illegal for a restaurant to call a sandwich a corned beef sandwich if it's made with white bread and mayo. I guess it needs to be rye bread and mustard. I don't know. I was going to say something about Oklahoma, but our Oki is not here today. But you could ask him. In Oklahoma, it is apparently you can be arrested for making an ugly face at a dog. They take their canines serious in Oklahoma, so don't go making faces at dogs.
Is that an old rule from 1800s?
One more. In Pennsylvania, and I share this because my wife, but she's not in here, it's against the law to tie a dollar bill on a string on the ground and pull it away when someone tries to pick it up. My wife, I think when she was little, she went to the fair and she did that. And they had a good time. And then someone got smart and stepped on it and took the dollar. Showed her. All that to say, different places have different rules. Different cultures have different cultural norms. And as a citizen of heaven, do you know some of the differences there is in being a citizen of this world and being a citizen of heaven? There are differences. Just off the top of my head, one of them is, it is illegal in the kingdom of heaven to harbor unforgiveness. Now, I know it seems like I'm talking to you, but everyone has unforgiveness, so I'm not talking to you, okay? I'm talking to the person next to you. But in the kingdom of heaven, it is illegal to harbor unforgiveness. We are to give it to God. It would be like going to Sedona and lying about your astrological sign. No, it's actually a little more serious than that. But in the kingdom, it is illegal to harbor ill will or negative thoughts. Even if it is justified. Again, I'm not talking to you, okay? I'm talking to the person next to you, alright? So, the scripture tells us, whatever is lovely, whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things. Because in the kingdom, as citizens of the kingdom, we have a new set of cultural norms. And that's why it's important to know Jesus. One of the reasons why it's important to know Jesus. He'll begin to teach us, you are not from this world anymore. You have been brought near to God. In fact, you are God's children. And as children of God, citizens of the kingdom, there's different expectations we have for you. And I believe once the church, we as a church, begin to mature in looking like the kingdom and having what is called a kingdom culture, the world will take notice. And there will be two responses. They'll either absolutely love that kingdom and want to be a part of it, or they would absolutely hate that kingdom and want to destroy it. So as the church matures and as the world becomes more and more a victim of the fall, there will be a response of either wanting to be a part of that kingdom, and as a church we need to realize that we need to mature in that, or they will absolutely hate the kingdom and want to destroy it. And so being a citizen of heaven, we do have different rules and I don't want to say rules, not to be legalistic, but we do have a kingdom culture we need to live by. And it's a great kingdom culture. Who doesn't want to be a part of a culture that forgives? Huh? Now, of course, it's hard to be on the side that is forgiving, but don't we all want to be forgiven? It goes, Ephesians goes on to say, it was built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. And I just want to say, we're invited into God's vision, which has its foundations already set and recorded in Scripture. And so I want to go back to vision. When we're talking about the big picture, being kingdom culture, being a part of His kingdom, we don't have to make it up. In fact, it's already set. The foundations are set. And last week I already talked about vision. But vision for this church and your own vision in your own life, they're eternal. It doesn't change. Whether you're 8 or 80 or 18, God's vision for your life does not change. So don't think if you're older, I missed it. No, you didn't miss it. I mean, you missed maybe some worldly, earthly opportunities, but you have not missed what Jesus has for you, what God has for you, what He has planned for you. Now, I want you to, that's important. Hope is very an important thing. So whatever stage and age you are, God's vision for you has not changed. And whatever age and stage JCCT is in, His vision for us has not changed. Vision, I believe, is eternal. It doesn't change. It doesn't change with the passing of the pastor or passing of the guard. It stays the same. And vision is based and built on redemptive purposes. Now, what do I mean by redemptive purposes? It's the idea that when Jesus saved you and redeemed you, He did it for a purpose. Now, I know we're all sinners, and we have all fallen short of the kingdom of God. Marilyn, I know you're going to email me, don't worry. I know that. That's what Scripture says. It says we have all fallen short of the kingdom, or fallen short of the glory of God. But, however, God saw enough value in you and in us to redeem us, because He knew that there was something redeemable. That He purchased us with His blood. Because there's something great. It's like the idea of seeing... Ah, man, I was going to do a painting analogy, but if there are any artists in here, please don't correct me. But it's like seeing a Van Gogh painting. that's been mired in mud, but as an expert collector, you know that can be redeemed. And although it's not worth much now because it just looks all muddy, you can make it into what it once was. You are a masterpiece, a work of God that has been muddied but can be redeemed and are being redeemed. JCCT is a masterpiece of God that may be muddied, but can be redeemed for eternal purposes. The hard part about vision, and even though it's been laid out, the foundations have been laid out, the hard part is it requires revelation. And revelation can be difficult, right? Because revelation comes in the language of heaven. And the language of heaven can sometimes be difficult to translate, to interpret. Because we're so used to hearing the language of this world. Having our eyes open and our ears open and our heart understand doesn't come easy. So last week I talked about we have to continue to keep on asking, not just for vision in JCCT, but your own personal vision. God, what do you want for me in my life? What is the purpose? What is my purpose here on earth? And it's not as trite as becoming an NBA basketball player, or it's not as trite as becoming a doctor. Although those things are great things to become, his vision for you, again, is eternal. But again, the reason why it becomes difficult, it is, it's revelation, and sometimes the language of heaven is hard to understand. In fact, it says, you know, God talks in parables, in riddles. But one of the big picture things that God is talking about is he is reestablishing a dwelling place for God where heaven and earth intersects. Did you catch that? It says, in him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. So that is to say, this church, and I'm going to say even you, as you become more like Jesus, you are a place, and this is a place, where heaven and earth intersects. Now imagine that. Imagine every time you interact with somebody, that person goes away thinking, what just happened? I just had a supernatural encounter, and I don't know why. Or they come to church and they say, what just happened? I just had a supernatural encounter at church. And that's what Jesus is saying, and that's what Scripture is saying when it's saying you are joined into a holy temple, and you are being built into a holy temple. The temple was a great place. The temple was where people went to worship God and encountered God. And Jesus is now saying, Scripture is now saying, you are a living temple, in that wherever you go, heaven and earth intersects. That's why one of the prayers Jesus tells us to pray is, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And one of that, the way that happens is through your life. Now again, one of the things is, as a church in JCCT, we can't do everything that the kingdom is about. And so maybe we could specialize in something. Maybe he is calling us to something specific, very specific. And as you ask God, what is it, Lord, the vision for you have for my life? And what is the vision you have for JCCT? He will begin to speak to you. And if we have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that understands, it'll become clear what the Lord has for us and what the Lord has for you. Amen. I should have asked Kazuyo if I could share this, but Kazuyo had a dream a couple weeks ago. It was a dream about JCCT. Is it okay to share? I can make some. Okay. And she just had a dream that we were facing the other way. The chairs were faced the other way. And as we were worshiping, the power of God came upon all of us. And, you know, it was so tangible, the manifest presence of God, that people started to fall out. Laugh or just fall? Just fall.
Laugh too, actually.
Laugh too, yeah. And so, again, dreams like these, I don't think are just normal dreams, personally. I think God speaks to us in dreams. But I don't think, you know, when we dream, it's not like literally He wants us to turn the chairs and then all of a sudden God's presence is going to come. But, you know, when you see things like that, it's talking in parables. And it could be meaning something like maybe they want us to turn a different direction. A turning, a changing of direction. And God speaks it like in that way. If you study scripture, you see that all the time. And so as you talk with God, as you commune with Him, as you seek His face, He will begin to talk to you. And it's the glory for kings and for princes like you to discover what He's trying to say. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You who hide Yourself but reveal Yourself to those who earnestly seek You. You who speak in dreams, riddles, and parables. You who delight in those who seeks You with all of their heart, mind, strength, and soul. We come before You, Lord, and we ask for greater revelation, greater knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. We ask, Lord, that we would understand the language of heaven and the ways of heaven. As citizens, Lord, we pray that we would find our identity and even godly pride in where we're from. Yes, Lord, even now I pray You would whisper to our hearts. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.